Well, that concludes the service. What is it we need to hear besides that? How many of you have been dreaming like this since your first memories? Since your very first memories. So it's like we came into this place, we came into these skins, we came into these bodies with a certainty that this was possible. We wouldn't be here. It's like, put me in coach. Then it's like, what the hell? Like, no, I don't want to play. I don't want to play this game. Who said there's going to be diseases? Who said there's going to be COVID? Who said there's going to be knuckleheads? Like, no. So everything then, so this order that we hold in our mind, this order, this dream, this vision of how it might be, could be, should be, wanted to be, needed to be, and then how it is. So this dream, this vision of what could be, and then, like who voted? I don't mean actually voted. We can't get into that. Lord have mercy. But you know what I mean? Who picked? Who picked? Who said, oh yeah, I'll send some knuckleheads. I need that for my salvation. Like, no, but do we have it? Do we have all that? Do we have Alpha and Omega? Alpha and Omega? We have it. We have order and everything's fine. And oh, look at this beautiful day. Then there'll be a tornado blow through here eventually, or a hurricane or something. There'll be a tree down. Then it's like, like, yeah, disorder. Disorder too. And then what follows disorder? Reorder. Then some of you will run forward with your handsaws and chainsaws and your aprons and say, I'll clean up a tree. Somebody meet me over there. Let's clean up a tree. Somebody bring a rake. Let's get this stuff. That's what we do. That's what you've done here in this ministry since all my time that I've ever known about you. Are you so proud of this, what you've done here? Give yourself a round of applause. And those of you that are watching, that are out there, a round of applause to you too, because we know that you're sending energy here. We know you're sending energy of prayer and love and money here that takes reordering to do that. And then reordering our own mind. I had a significant death a couple of months ago, and all deaths are significant. Have you noticed? That death thing does not get a darn bit easier. Have you noticed? And it's like my heart kind of melted, just went away, like disappeared. And then all of a sudden, it started to come back in place. So it was like rebuilding itself, reordering itself. And how I can best describe it is it reformed. I have a reformed heart. Well, guess what? It's a better heart than I had in the first place. And I had a pretty doggone big heart. And I had a pretty doggone strong big heart. But as a result of that disorder, as a result of that grief, as a result of that loss, as a result of that, I have a reformed heart. It's a better heart. Because that's what it does. The next iteration of it, all albeit painful, albeit not fun, reiterating, evolving, growing up, accepting what I cannot change, coming out of these fantasies and this false notion that we all were born like, here's your certificate of birth. You'll have no struggle through all of your life. Like, oh, thank you. Let me frame that. Instead of like, no, here's your birth certificate. You're going to have all sorts of losses and challenges and pain and disruption. And it's why we're here. And it's why we're here to create what's better than. To actually evolve. So I want to read something today. And this is from Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Many of you be familiar with her. You can probably put in Pinkola and find it, because I don't know of any other ones. In any dark time, there's a tendency to veer toward fainting. Have you noticed? Whoo, why me? After all I've done for God. See, I'm a mind reader. In any dark time, there's a tendency to veer toward fainting over how much is wrong with things. How much is wrong with her? How much is wrong with him? How much is wrong with it? Who can bear it? To faint over what's not right in the world. What's unmended in the world. We're here, people. You're here. I'm here to see that, to observe that, and not focus on that. To not deny that it's here, and there's something else here, too. Yes, there's that. Yes. So no more denying that. You know, and like nobody burying their baby wants to hear it's all good. So do your best to heal from that today. And maybe back in heaven or in the absolute, it's all good. Who knows? We'll find out. However, back here at the ranch, we got unmended. We got unresolved. We've got losses. We've got our tendencies to faint over all of this. There is a tendency to fall into feeling weaker, to being weakened by this. And the more we dwell on this, the more we focus on this, the more we're going to feel weaker from this. So one of my teachers, Dr. David Hawkins, in those books, Power Versus Force, in the Eye of the Eye, says it's this simple. It's either going to strengthen you or it's going to weaken you. That's all there is to it. So every choice I'm making today, every thought, every emotion, every look I give somebody is strengthening me or weakening me. And then guess what? If I'm strengthened, guess what else is strengthened? Everything. If quantum theory is true, that anything I can do today, any choice I make today, any exercise I make today to say I'm going to be more mindful about that, I'm absolutely not going to do that as much as I would like to just slap some love into her. I'm not going to do that because that would weaken me. Therefore, it would weaken the field. So I got to grow up another hair and have emotion and emotion not have me. And go, okay, what would a more conscious person do? What's another option for me? So there's a tendency to fall into being weakened on this by dwelling in what isn't, and dwelling in what we can't do something about, and dwelling in what we just can't reach. It's just out of our reach. By dwelling on what's just not yet. We cannot focus there. That is spending. I'm reading now from her. She says that is spending the wind without raising any sails. Spending the wind without putting up a sail. So, stop it. So here we're here to harness the wind. We're here to put up a sail. We're here to be a sail and not to spend the wind without our sail. And it's like that meme that passes around, you know, with somebody standing over a shovel. holding a shovel going, yeah, I'm going to pray that God's going to dig a hole. Like, well, stand there. Because guess how that hole will get dug? And one of my teachers said this years ago, when it was like, well, what are you going to do? Pray about it, pray about it, pray about it. Well, pray about it for sure and dig a hole. And if you've got a splinter in your foot, are you going to pray it out or pull it out? So pray for sure and action. And though we will meet resistance, and though you will meet resistance, and though I will, we also will meet great souls. We will meet great souls who understand us. We'll meet great souls that think more like us. We'll meet great souls that support us, that love us, that guide us, that forgive us. We also meet great souls that says, yes, together we can do this. Yes, together we can do what cannot be done alone. Yes, we will. So if you say you're a believer, didn't you make a pledge somewhere to listen to something greater than this? To pledge to say, I'm going to listen to something wiser than this? That I'm going to re-pledge that today. I'm going to re-vow that today. I'm going to re-devote myself to that today. That there is something to listen to besides this very limited, hurting, unhealed. And ours is not the task of fixing the entire world. Ain't that a relief? See if you can say it out loud. Mine is not the task of fixing the entire world. That is not my task. Or to do it all at once. But it is ours to stretch out, to expand. One more thought, one more mindfulness, one more discerned action, one more sane, sensible action. Instead of this knee-jerk, instinctual reaction. To mend the part of the world that is within my reach. That'd be plenty, wouldn't it? If I heal the space I'm in, and I'm a healing energy and space for the space I'm in, so then whatever space I'm in, whatever interaction I'm in, whatever situation I'm in, that I'm there to heal that space. And then over time, and as it unfolds, then more space is healed. And it's evidently not in my timing or yours. So any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, calm, thoughtful thing that soul, your soul, can do to aid and benefit another soul has benefited your soul and your own soul's evolution and my soul's evolution. To assist some portion of the world that is suffering, to be of some assistance there, helps immensely. So there is no little thing then. There is no little act. As Mother Teresa said, small things, great big love. Small things, great big faith. It is not given to us to know which acts we are to do. Have you noticed your mind will be, well, what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? I don't have no purpose. Martha Creek's got a purpose. I wish I had a purpose. It's like, well, nobody knows. There's no such thing as purpose other than to be, we're being breathed. So instead of all that mental energy on what's my purpose, it's like, have some breakfast. You know, take a big deep breath before I fire off that email. Take a big deep breath before I fire off that text. So we're not to know what acts we're to do. We're not to know who we're supposed to do it with. Like, well, I kind of like her. I was like, well, no, it's not her, it's him. I'm like, oh, I want her. Oh, if it can't be her. It's like, we're not to know who it is. We're not to know who it is or what it is. Just, what am I? And what's possible through me if I continue to free myself from these attachments and these demands and these expectations. And then the resentments that follow when I don't get what I want. Speaking for myself, of course. So what is needed is dramatic change. Dramatic change. An accumulation of acts. Adding to. One more thing. One more little thing. And then continuing to do that. And to restore ourselves. Like coming to a spiritual center. Coming to scripture. Coming to a mantra. Coming to a friend. Coming to therapy. Whatever we can do to offload some of this other. To renew our minds. To renew our souls. And to remember who we are. What is true of us. And what we're here to do. And the fuller and fuller capacity for that. That we're equipped for whatever's coming. We're equipped for it. See if you can say that out loud. I am equipped. I am equipped. There's nothing you've come through that you wasn't equipped for. But did you feel equipped? Like, heck no. But were you equipped? Absolutely. Absolutely. So draw on that direct experience. So whatever's coming, whatever I'm to experience here, I'm equipped to experience that. That's the only reality there is. We know that it does not take everybody on earth to bring justice to earth. As if we wait for everybody. It won't take everybody on earth to bring peace on earth. But think about a tipping point. Think about a shift in consciousness. Think about as we move up in the map of consciousness, an evolutionary process, what happens when the mass reforms. A small, determined group of people who will not give up, who will not give up on the first try, who won't give up on the second try, and people who won't give up on the 100th try. That's who we are. That we won't give up. So whatever it's going to take to keep our stamina higher and to keep our uncommon motivation intact to say that I am going to be that resilient. I'm going to be the one who won't give up until I see what I know is possible to see. So inch by inch, act by act, interaction by interaction, conversation by conversation, prayer by prayer, word by word. So one of the most calming and powerful actions we can take to intervene into this stormy, dramatic energy that we're in is simply to stand up for our own soul, to be in touch with our own spirit, and to be in a heightened level of spiritual self-care. And to know that it's the kindest thing I can do for the world. It's the kindest thing I can do for my family, my relationships, is to keep my own spiritual self-care intact. And to the degree that I can do that, then I can potentially be some earthly good. And if I continue to let my spirit be drained off and my energies be drained off and I continue to do things that weaken, then there's not much causation, creation, innovation, liberation that's possible because I've not accessed the upper room of our mighty, powerful, big brains and minds. The souls on deck, us, the souls on deck, are here to shine. The light of the world, like gold. And whatever then can spark from that, that can spark another soul to go, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but she did it, and she believes I can, so I'm going to go with that. And how many times I've heard people say, Martha, I couldn't believe it myself, but I saw that you believed it, so I believed that you believed it, and it caused me to do something. So it opened a door. So we can be the believers for the people that can't believe yet. Just then spark and incite that, a new potential, a new possibility in that. And to display our own light, our light in the shadow of what's going on, our light in the shadow of situations, our light in the shadow of trees, our light in the shadow of any darkness. And that these acts are immensely courageous, immensely, immensely courageous. And when we operate from a consciousness of courage, more and more and more are possible. So at any time, regardless of how afraid or downtrodden or weak or broken we feel, which we normally will, to access even a hair of courage, a hair of courage. How have I done it before? How did I get through this before? How do they get through it? What can we do here? To access that opens up an entire world, an entirely new potential, infinite potential. So then struggling souls struggle less because we've held a space. We've sparked something. They see a new potential, a new possibility. And just to be a calm presence in an intense, dark, scary time is plenty. So this is not out of reach for any of us. So get a sense of being this light of the world. Not attached to order, absolutely understanding and accepting the nature of chaos, the nature of how we're born, what we're born, that there'll be times of order and times of disorder. And order and disorder, and order and disorder, and order and disorder. So we're not so affected by it. We don't fall so much under its spell that it's got to be order all the time. Then we're less undone when we're in disorder. Like this is the movement of life. This is the movement of energy, of creation. And she says this, and she says it like this. I hope you will write this on your walls. When a great ship is in a harbor and moored, tied up, it's very, very safe. There can be no doubt much about what's going to happen to it. But that is not what great ships are built for. This comes with much love and a prayer that you remember who you are, how you're built, and what you're built for. That you remember what you came here for. And why you came to this place. Why you came to this life, into this life. And you came at this time, and to this planet, that's in plenty of need for some of us to remember who we are, how we're built, and what we came here for. And I remember reading this years ago, and I thought, you know, I don't even buy that ship that's tied up by that dock is always safe, because I watch them get pounded up against those docks and holes in them and lumbers off and everything else. And I thought, that's about how I feel when I start to resist, when I start to say, I can't. Because I can't is more often I won't. And it's not what we're built for. So get a sense of it today. Sense of it in your body. And see if you can affirm with me. I accept order. I accept there's order. I accept that there's disorder. I accept reorder. And who you would be living that out. What that one thing would do to change the experience of your life, of this life.